traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I'll say it. KSI, what the f*** was that, bro? What the f***?
Hold on, can I?
That was the best performance I've ever seen. It was like, listen to what I felt like. I went there and I was like, this is amazing. I love all the performance, but why did you have to beat that child at the end?
How long has it been since we've done a podcast?
6 days. There go my headphones.
I don't think so. Oh, Michael. Michael.
A long time. It's been
a while. Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Do you think we're equipped to do a podcast?
Are you kidding me right now?
No. No.
Okay. We used to do shows like this all the time.
Yeah.
First 150, 200 shows were pretty much all like this.
Yeah.
This kid right here.
Yeah.
Gone.
He's toast.
Toast. A waterlogged piece of wood. Petrified wood.
Floating down a river.
Yep.
Are you going to make it through the show?
Yeah. No, I'm here.
Sort of.
I'm here, but the lights, you know, like the lights are on. But no,
nobody's home.
Yeah, that's right now. I'm here.
Perfect. All right.
Dude, I don't know how you guys do this. This is ridiculous.
Professional.
I've been practicing. I've been practicing drinking with the boys.
Practicing drinking. I like how you said that.
I'm practicing.
I practice drinking too.
No, you're a professional.
Okay.
You're like in the Olympic training. Like, yeah. you're up there.
I'm pretty good.
I can't hang, dude. I can't. Like, I realized like yesterday, like there was some shit going down, and I was like, I should probably be alert and aware of what's going on right now. But I was like, let's go deeper. So I just kept getting more fucked up with you guys.
Yeah.
And I realized that you guys would stay the same, like, when it comes to like talking and like no slurring.
Yep.
And I'm just like, okay, maybe I should like hang back. Does your lips go numb at a certain point?
Yeah. And dry as well.
Oh my God.
My girlfriend told me I looked like a crackhead at about 2 a.m. She goes, your lips are crusty. Your face is dry. You're translucent, Logan. You look like a crackhead. You look like Mike. You used to look like. Anyways, welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. It's true. Mike used to be a drug addict, but he wrote a book about his recovery and it's very inspiring. It's called The Fifth Vital. You should check it out. We are...
Hey, thanks, man.
I've said this before. You're welcome. We're at the tail end of a long, long, arduous bender that started in Mykonos and ended here in London. We're at True Geordie Studio. Thank you again to True Geordie for allowing us to use your set. This is the nicest set we've ever been on. And one day, maybe we'll upgrade our set to emulate what you've built here. But it's been a long vacation. We needed a Euro trip, right? It's the end of the summer. And we've been working hard. We've been working really hard this year. And I feel like we needed a little break. So we took a little break. It's been great. We got a lot of stories for you. And a lot of stuff has happened in the interim that we'd like to talk about because, you know.
Like what?
Well.
What's happened? A lot of things have happened. Right, can I be honest? Can I be honest with everyone and mostly the audience? I'm looking at you right now. It's like looking at a microwave flashing zero. Like when the power goes out, there's no time on.
I threw a lob to Mike and the girl messaged me. She's like, yeah, I'm done talking to Mike. And I go, wait, why? And she goes, he texted me this in Spanish. And he just said, I eat ass.
Did you do that?
Yeah, dude. It was the funniest thing. Wait. I was like, yeah, that's hilarious. And I think she like liked it.
Was she Spanish, Mike?
No.
Brother, do you think any of what he just said ever happened?
How could he make that up?
I have a screenshot of it.
Please pull it up, buddy, because that never occurred ever, bro. Where are you getting these things? How do you pull that up out of nowhere?
Your screenshot right here that says, Oh, you unsent it. Oh, you.
Oh, the story seems to be falling apart. So, so you had a screenshot of it, but I unsent it, and that altered your screenshot of it. It went back in time.
Hey, Georgie, you're gonna need to read the fifth vinyl soon, brother. You keep up this behavior.
No.
Except you can't read, so we'll get you the audiobook.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate. Wait, if not, unless it's Mike's voice, I don't want to hear that.
It is.
It is your voice.
7 hours and 48 minutes of my voice. You know, my voice is bad, dude.
I don't think so. In fact. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I've never told you this. The only reason I brought you onto the show was because I think you have a good podcast voice.
Really?
I think you have a good radio voice.
Because it's like unique.
You can hear the cocaine in your esophagus.
It's like Steve-O. It's like having Steve-O on
exactly.
Your show.
Exactly.
Guys, dude, it's because I'm always screaming. It's not, I don't even think it's the drugs, it's my vocal.
You're loud. I sometimes have to tell you decibel level, just a couple down.
I'm working on it. I'm not working on it, but I should work on it. I think it's going to take a good 15 to 20 minutes to warm up today.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, okay. We're going to go.
I think we run the whole thing.
Yeah, for sure.
I've realized that, so when I watch back the podcast, trying to look at what we can do better, sometimes the banter in the beginning is actually the most entertaining part. For me, it's just a couple boys trying to be entertainers talking about some dumb shit.
Yeah.
And that's cool and can be fun sometimes. Stop looking at me like that.
Okay. Dude, I think I might be a little drunk. Could you wake up drunk? Or
yes.
No?
Yeah. Yes. But the thing that gets me is that you wake up drunk after having 2 Casamigos margaritas.
No, I drank a lot yesterday. Like I drank way more than I usually would. How do you
decide now that you're an alcoholic how much you're going to
drink? Well, so legitimately one drink will get me very, very buzzed because I never drank growing up. 2 drinks will have me like, oh, I'm drunk. Like 2 solid drinks will have me drunk. I had 3 or 4 drinks.
And that's when the sunglasses went on. The sunglasses go on. That's how I know you're. And they're not yours either. You borrow a girl's sunglasses.
It was Jeff's friends. It was Kyle.
Oh, okay.
But I will admit, dude, having sunglasses on when you are messed up is the most confident booster because you're like, it's just the eyes. When people look me in the eyes when I'm like a little like drunk,
yeah,
it's just super intimidating.
No, yeah, that's, bro, I walked into the O2 Arena yesterday for JJ's fight, my business partner and now friend. And I had to put my sunglasses on because we had been going all day. I couldn't walk into that arena with people seeing what I actually look like. Then my mistake was I took my sunglasses off like maybe 20 minutes into the fights and started doing press. And so I'm seeing tweets now today like, yo, Logan's coked up. What's his deal? I mean, look, I was going off a little bit. I was doing some WWE type promos on the mic.
Bro, you called him Foozy Shart in one of the interviews.
Mike dared me to in one of the interviews tell them that I felt like a log floating down the river. And I was able to get it in there.
Yeah. That was, you planned that?
Mike dared me. I didn't actually feel like a log floating down the river.
That's hilarious. And I'm like an idiot in the background, which by the way, I couldn't hear a lick of what you were saying. At all. I don't know if it was like you guys, but whatever they were saying, when you're near the ring, you can't hear anything.
Yo, you can't hear at all.
And you know how scary that is? Because what if they're saying something that's important?
Like, please leave the arena now.
No, but this is pretty embarrassing. I was really messed up. And I grabbed Reed and Kyle. I go, dude, they're trying to warn us of something. And I'm looking up. And everybody in the stadium's like this.
Yeah.
They're like this. Yeah. They're like, and I'm like, what the fuck? What's happening? And they're just going like this. They're pointing at each other. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? Dude, they were trying to get on the jumbo screen. And I thought the whole time. They're like, in my mind, when I was fucked up, they're like, George, listen, get the fuck out now. And I'm like, dude, where do I go? But yeah, when I found out they needed to put on the jumbo screen. And then when they did the flag for United States Pledge of Allegiance, like all that, we couldn't hear it last second.
Yeah.
And I got scared there. Like it might be because like, you know, when you're messed up, you try to get insecure.
Yeah. Just so you know, that was not the Pledge of Allegiance. That was the national anthem.
Sorry.
Just, I know.
Dude, imagine they go and everybody rises.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
Oh, I was putting my hand over my heart. Well, anyway, so, but like my biggest fear is like being an asshole without knowing you're an asshole. So like, something important's happening and like I couldn't hear it. And they're like, wow, look how ignorant he is.
Oh, okay. So that checks out.
Yeah. So that was what I was going on in my head.
The event yesterday was fun.
Oh, dude.
Very fun. I'd like to talk about it.
Well, there was also 2 events yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Arsenal soccer game. My first ever soccer football. Excuse me.
Whoa.
Excuse me.
Whoa.
Everyone from Europe. My first ever football match. And I have to say, So I was only invited there, right, because the Prime partnership with Arsenal, which is still unbelievable. So Prime's the official hydration partner of Arsenal, and the logo's on the field, it's on the banners, the animation plays, and we fuel the players in their match with Prime. And it is a very surreal feeling seeing a logo that started off as a drawing on a piece of paper lining the field of one of the most popular football clubs in Europe. Whoa. You know, it's getting very real. The atmosphere was amazing. The environment's crazy. We got to go on the field. We got to bring you guys. And we started off there.
60,000 people.
Yeah.
Was that your first, like, major soccer game? Like, going to one of their games?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a wild experience.
That was my first soccer game ever. Football.
Yeah.
Football game.
Yeah. 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 And you know what else affected me in a really positive way? And I guess we can call it the JJ effect, but man, we got so much love. We got so, like the UK fans were so receptive of the Americans, you know, putts it around their field like fucking idiots. And they were just so sweet and kind. And I can remember a time just 4 or 5 years ago where that wasn't the case, man. We were getting full paint cans thrown at us, yeah. Right? We were getting like discs hurled. My dad got punched in the head. And then, you know, you make your enemy your friend. You do some cool things in the UK, and the tides have turned. The momentum has shifted, and I feel blessed. I feel blessed to have received so nicely in a country that once wasn't always on our side. And you know how strong the UK fans can be if they're riding for you.
Extremely.
We saw a sold out O2 Arena, KSI Misfits Boxing. Put on this event yesterday that I'll be honest with you, I was not sure what to expect. It's influencer boxing, bro. Yeah. At the end of the day, yeah. It's influencer boxing. What is this going to look like? Is it going to be a spectacle? Is it going to lower the value of what it means to be an influencer or raise the value? And yesterday, I think it elevated what influencers are trying to build with these promotions.
I think it was like a mixed bag. Like, you had some fights that were more like almost like you brought WWE 2 boxing, like character driven. Mm-hmm. Like that Sam Hyde character is
that guy's a pirate.
A leprechaun, right? Yeah,
a giant leprechaun.
The Candyman.
Yeah.
Bro, like that fight was but
in slow motion.
In slow motion. That Thompson dude had one punch. The Thompson dude was the reverse you. Like all he threw was right hand.
Yeah.
Like, you combine your left jab and his right hook,
you got a real fight.
You've got the next Salt Poppy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like
he is,
bro.
He's my favorite.
Incredible.
I tweeted Salt Poppy versus Jake Paul. The internet wants it. So I think Jake's next fight, he's announcing it this week, is against Salt Poppy.
It should.
I'd watch that. Kidding. I know who it's against. It's against.
Really?
Jake's when does he announce? Can you say that on the show?
I don't know.
That was thanks for that, man. Appreciate it.
I don't know.
That was at one point a fight that was in your potential inventory. Yeah.
You know, a lot of fights that were in my potential inventory seemed to be just slipping out of my hands, out of my grasp. I was maybe thinking about fighting Andrew Tate. JJ called him out in the ring last night. We'll let him have it. I want to dive into that later, though, because I do want to talk about
Arsenal.
Salt Poppy still. Oh, no, Arsenal, I feel like, is there anything else to say?
No, well, one thing I will say quickly is thank you to JJ once again for not only smoothing things over with the UK audience, but also giving us his suite, which was incredible, that had a punching bag in it.
Yeah.
That our stupid American asses spent the majority of the game trying to beat his record, which was 740. No one was able to do it until our massive security detail.
He's a brick wall.
He hit the bag once, and not only did he break the record, he broke the machine.
The machine broke.
The bag detached, the metal screw evaporated.
That's right.
Immediately, and so JJ...
your machine's broken.
We broke your machine, and we're sorry. And
sorry.
We should probably tell you here about that.
Sorry.
Yeah. We went to an Arsenal game yesterday, and we were treated by JJ. That was very nice.
Sure.
But what if I wanted tickets and I didn't have a friend?
Well, lucky for you, Mike, I got the place. SeatGeek is the sponsor of today's episode. We just went to a fantastic boxing event and a soccer game. And if you're trying to get to one or a music festival, major game, SeatGeek puts tickets from all over the web in one place to make buying simple. SeatGeek is the absolute best place to buy tickets. We got the app on our phone right here. Check it out. If we needed to buy a ticket to the next KSI fight, SeatGeek would be the perfect place to do that. So, Mike, be a good idea to start searching right now. They rate every ticket from 0 to 10 to make sure you're getting a good deal. Green means good and red means bad. We got the hookup for you guys as well. Use the promo code Logan for $20 off tickets at SeatGeek. That's $20 off your first purchase with the promo code Logan. Make sure to click the link in the description to download the app. Thank you, SeatGeek.
Thanks, SeatGeek.
Back to the show.
So how about Saul Poppy?
The kick in box.
Yeah,
I'm surprised. Box, yeah. He comes out. He's a big personality, right? That's the cool thing. What you said, it's WWE meets boxing.
Yeah.
Because all of these influencers are big personalities. That's how they became influencers. They're being funny online. People gravitate towards their energy. And why I actually think influencer boxing events are more entertaining is because these kids have more to lose. And a lot of the time, they don't know what the fuck they're doing, but they know that their ego is going to take them as far as it's going to take them until they can stop with a clean right hook, right? And that's the fun. You can lose it all. You can become a meme in 1 second. And and we saw it. We saw it happen last night. I mean, unfortunately, our boy,
yeah.
Tommy,
yep.
You know, lost in a pretty vicious way to Slim.
Yep.
And I don't know what that's like to go back to the locker room after being knocked out yet.
I can't wait till that's clipped. I don't know when it's there. Shipping you off. I knew Salt was good in the back, bro. Like
you could see him hitting pads.
Bro, when he was, I was like, he's quick.
It's this kid from the Philippines. I think he speaks a little bit of English. But he's just so funny and Slim was entertaining too during Slim's match against Tommy. He
psychopath.
He looked at me, bro.
Well, he was tangled
he was stopped
up
on the rings. He looked at me. He just like, and I was
twice.
Like, yeah, right. And after the match, he said some kind things to me. He goes, "Hey, do I have your respect now?" And
what have you looked at him? You're like,
no. Absolutely not.
Pussy. Fuck.
Well, you told me before that fight that Slim was going to be a problem for Tommy. You knew it. How much of it comes down to experience in the ring?
Everything.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Everything.
Like, not just natural skill, speed, training, but, like, dude, you can speak on it more than anybody. You trained every single day for KSI-1. You knew exactly what your game plan was. You knew exactly what you were going to do, what counter-strikes you were going to make, how you were going to move around the ring. But when you got into that ring in front of those however many thousand fans, how much did that change the entire
everything?
Fuck yeah.
I mean, for every boxer last night whose first time it was getting in the ring, like, that's horrifying. You know, if you've had experience of fighting before and you have natural ability, it's going to come to you a lot easier. And that's what happened with Slim. That's what happened with Saul.
Well, I guess Tommy did have one other fight technically. So that's, he had one, but Slim had.
I think Slim's been at it.
Right.
I don't know if he's had multiple, but I know he's like kind of been boxing for a while behind the scenes.
Just on that fight specifically, I knew that Tommy was going to come in there in peak athletic form, which he did. He was in great shape. He wasn't gassing. He had the gas in the tank. Unfortunately, it seemed like as you got into some of those later rounds, late round two, round three. You know what I mean? I mean, stuck in three round fights. So in the later rounds, it seemed like he wasn't able to put a lot of that energy into those punches. His punches were losing a lot of speed and
I heard he only had 2 weeks to train though. Is that true?
No.
I think Slim did. Yeah. I think Slim took the fight on 2 weeks.
Yeah, because he was supposed to fight Tommy was supposed to fight Blue Face.
Yeah, and Slim took the fight on 2 weeks. And we love Tommy. We love Face.
Yeah.
And so that wasn't easy to see.
It's a tough one for me to you know, being really good friends with Tav and Jordan and all those guys came out for the fight and the team's been with them. And after the fight ended, I mean, seeing their faces, obviously it's not the same. He got KO'd. And so it's not the same as the stuff that we went through. But I went up to him after and I was like, listen, like, I understand this isn't the ideal outcome for you guys. They were so, like, you could see tears in their eyes, you know? Man. And I was like, I've been through this a couple times, not in the same exact way, but to go back to that locker room after a loss or after a KO or after any kind of non-ideal outcome, it sucks, bro. And they texted me from the room and said, yo, is it always this quiet back here? Like, is it always this silent? And I said, yeah, bro, like, that's just how it goes. And the team will be 50 times stronger as a result of it. You know?
So that is the good news.
Yeah.
That is the good news about losses. And having lost many times before now and having a keen understanding of what it's like to fail at the highest fucking level repeatedly, I can relate to situations like this. I can relate to situations like Deji, who we saw last night in real time turn it all around like this.
Wow.
Deji, KSI's younger brother, lost three fights in a row. You have JJ, KSI, who's winning everything, right? In every vertical. And then his younger brother, who's already the little brother, losing repeatedly.
Yeah.
And last night, he comes in the ring. You could tell he worked his ass off. His mindset has switched, and he got his first W. I was very happy for Deji.
And he's that was my favorite fight of the night. Fousey had some heart.
Real
so
heart.
Much heart. Like, so much heart, dude.
To get hit that many times and just keep pushing forward, that was sick.
Yeah.
And I really liked it just because you could tell both of them really wanted to be in there.
Yep.
Like they both had like something to like fight for. Because Fousey lost too.
And
in a bad way.
Training for the fight and getting into athletic form has been a life changer for Fousey, bro. It turned his entire life around. You know, he's.
I think they both won in some circumstances.
100%.
I think so too. I also think Fousey's very cool and very honest. Yeah. The first thing he said to us when he came up to us, he goes, "Man, what did he say?" He's like, "Maybe I just don't have it, man."
He said,
"I didn't learn last time."
No, that's what he said.
He's like, "I'm just not learning."
Yeah. He's not learning.
Like, maybe it's not your thing, you know?
He came kind of like defeated in heart, but I don't think he understood what we saw. I think he, in his mind, when he saw us and he was kind of down, I feel like he saw us look at him like his first fight. When this time we had a lot more respect for
him. Oh my God. Ring time.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't think anybody was like, "Yeah, Fousey got his ass kicked." It was nothing like that. It was kind of like, damn, that fucker stayed in there.
He went to war.
Yeah.
But it was tough too for him because I'm going to be honest, like, there's always a lot of this like US UK, and they're continuing that storyline here. Like, a lot of these fights were US UK fights, right? But when I tell you that Deji has been the crowd favorite, and everybody has been pulling for a Deji victory.
Like, we've
been
waiting for this
for so long. And once again, I love Fousey. That's my guy. But dude, everybody wanted to see Deji win a fucking fight. Because you know that he was putting so much into the training, and he would get to game time, and he would gas out, or he would run, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And to see him pull through last night, I mean, I saw him after, and he was beaming, bro.
He was so, that was the happiest I've ever seen Deji.
Yeah, yeah.
He came up to us smiling ear to ear. I told him, "Oh man," I was like, "Man, you should really be proud." I go, I know what it's like to lose like on that level time and time again. And for you to pick your head up when you feel like you're at the bottom and just keep going and get that win that you thought you never could do, that's a life changer, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that'll change the entire momentum of his life. Hopefully, if he lets it. But very happy, very cool to see real time. And then obviously you have JJ, KSI, the two fights in one night, which was
child abuse.
Hey, okay, listen. I'll say it because you're his partner, and you are like, you know, you want to stay in Switzerland.
No, I didn't.
I'll say it. KSI, what the fuck was that, bro? What the fuck? That was the best performance I've ever seen. It was like, listen to what I felt like. I went there and I was like, "This is amazing. I love all the performance." But why did you have to beat that child at the end? What did that kid do?
He was so scared.
He did this in the ring. Bro, I was standing next to a girl in the crowd, and she goes, "We have to stop the fight."
Yeah.
This small child they've mistaken him. How did this child get into the ring?
I'm like,
okay, back up, preface, everybody relax. Level this into like solid ground. He had to find a new opponent. Alex was thought it was
what,
supposed
did he
to
drive
be-
around the park. Hey, kid, get in the van. I got candy. Get in the van, put the gloves on, and look at me. You're a professional. Okay, when people ask, you're a professional.
Shut up.
Yeah, and then he goes, "Dude, I'm sorry, bro. I love KSI. I love his content. I love him as a human being. But don't come at Jake Paul's fighting scores of people that he's fought and then go take a guy from the rec center. Okay, don't do that. Why is the guy from the YMCA fighting you? Why is the guy who practiced by using Tybo clips to get ready for this fight? That guy was not ready for the fight.
He was so scared.
Bro.
Like, if you look like that in the ring, you shouldn't be in the ring.
He started taking knees and
well, JJ was clobbering.
JJ was trying to kill that.
Okay, once again, JJ had a fight. Alex Wasabi. That fight was supposed to happen. Alex Wasabi pulled out for whatever reason, concussion protocol, whatever, right? JJ had to find new fighters. my guess was that he couldn't find the right fighter
in that little amount of time.
Window of time.
3 weeks. And this part is actually extremely noble, and I commend JJ for it, because now as the promoter and main event, you have your back against
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
The wall. What do you do? You're going to put on this amazing event. How can I still make history in this short amount of time by finding a fighter who's going to sell tickets? I'll fight 2.
1.5 fights. I'm not doing it, bro. What? I'm sorry. I'll
no,
be
no, but you don't have
why,
to. Not
why 1.5?
That that's what do you mean?
He's
the other
counting
guy was
the
rubbing the back of his head for 45 minutes. What do you mean? It was 4 3-minute rounds. 17 minutes of it. He was on the ground.
It was 3 3-minute rounds. My head. It was 3 3-minute rounds.
I'm dyslexic. Don't go there.
All jokes. He's making jokes out of it. But this was a curiosity we were having, and it's, you know, somebody came up to ask me questions after. I don't remember what outlet it was, but they were like, What do you think Jake Paul's next opponent is going to look like? And this was before we had just shared this news. And, you know, I actually didn't even know yet. But I don't think Jake would ever take that kind of fight. Like, if his opponent, like, what would happen if his opponent backed out, fight's over? Like, I'm not going to fill the spot
Doug, I love both of these cats.
For sure.
Right? One's my brother. One's my friend and business partner. But Jake is on some other shit right now.
Right.
There's no way if, ands, and buts about it. He's on some other shit right now, putting on boxing events at really the highest level, getting respect from the boxing industry and challenging himself with opponents that every single one of Jake's opponents at the time he's fighting them has a chance to win. It doesn't look like Jake's always going to win, right?
Right.
KSI had one real option yesterday. Otherwise, it would have been an L for him.
And
it was to knock both people out, right? And he did. I argued that the pressure was on him. Because remember, guys, he sandwiched the card. He opened it with a fight, knocked the guy out. Closed with a fight, knocked the guy out. In my head, that was the only possible outcome that could have happened that made it a win for him, which it did.
I think he won regardless because at the end of the day, it's entertainment, and I was entertained
throughout. That's why it's a win. The entire card was phenomenally entertaining.
KSI might have beat a child yesterday, but it was the greatest show of boxing out of all your shows, out of all of Jake Paul's shows.
It was a great night.
It was fun, dude. I think everybody wanted to see a pro boxer beat up a kid at one point. Because here's the thing. Here's the reason why.
What made you think he's like a kid? He could have been 20.
No,
21.
I saw it in his eyes. He was like, I've seen, like, my father beat me. So I know what it feels like when a kid looks at an adult.
Oh my God.
And just like,
he was wincing. That's the word.
But maybe KSI is just so fucking
He is. That's
it. Could have been like, you know, his final form, bro. Like, what if he just got there and that guy was a pro, but he couldn't even fuck? What if that would have been Jake Paul, bro?
Or Canelo. And then Canelo's just looking at him like, no, JJ, please. Like,
I don't know.
JJ's just become the fucking super side.
Regardless,
there's a chance.
If I would go back in time, I wouldn't change one fucking thing.
It was incredible.
I loved it.
It was incredible.
Also keep in mind, outside of the Alex Wasabi pullout, JJ said multiple times, like, this fight is for me to knock the rust off. I haven't fought in...
I'm sorry, dude.
He knocked the rust off with a...
That wasn't old enough to have rust on it.
not to knock the rust off him.
It had the tag still on it. What do you mean the rust, bro? There was no rust. It had WD-40 all over it, bro. There was no rust in it.
How is that kid a professional boxer?
He's not.
No, he's not
a professional boxer. What are you talking about, bro? I was fucked up, and if I got in the ring, I would have fucking given it a better wing at it. Dude, I can't believe it, bro.
I felt bad. I actually did. Like, I was sitting there.
I think everyone did.
Yeah.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Everyone did. I didn't feel bad. I was enjoying it. That's what you guys have to draw the line. I enjoyed every minute of it. Have you ever watched the Olympics and they race and they're all close together?
Yep.
In my mind, they should put somebody who's an average runner so you could see the fucking difference. I saw the difference.
Oh.
I was like, dish, dish, and then now like, dish, ow, dish, ow, back it up. Wow. Like, the guy went down. I was like, oh my God, JJ, keep going. You have five more minutes.
Yeah.
Keep beating his ass. Kick him while he's down. That's what I do.
Yeah, right.
When they're on the ground, don't let up. Press. Anyways, so
I'm liking this.
Me too.
Because he's on today.
I know. I like it.
I'm a little low energy, like I said, after all this travel. But the other thing is, the event went extremely well. It was run well. It seemed like there wasn't a lot. It feels like the influencer boxing community is starting to iron out a lot of the kinks in the program, in the televising of the event, the purchasing. Like, it seems like on the business side, which is obviously something that you and Jake and KSI are like innately involved in, it seems like things are starting to run more smoothly. Like, the event last night went off pretty well.
For sure, for sure. And it also, I mean, you know, who you partner with is a big deal.
Right.
JJ partnered with DAZN.
Yeah.
A very reputable, well-oiled machine. DAZN does a great job with their events, and this was, you know, a great event. And
the only thing they don't do is check IDs on the fighters, unfortunately.
To see if they're even fighters.
No, to see if they're even 16.
Oh, now you're making the child abuse jokes, huh?
Mike, enough, bro.
You're rubbing off on Mike.
Don't do that.
Does anyone know how JJ's feeling? I told him.
Probably like a winner, bro. Dude, listen, here's the dude. At one point, I got goosebumps for him. I like closed my eyes and I was like, I want to be JJ. Bro, he came out. They're blasting his music. His fans are singing his own lyrics. He's walking around.
Oh.
He's doing push-ups.
I had this thought. They played his music.
Yeah.
In between the rounds.
Right. Yeah.
Is that fair for the opponent? The whole crowd is singing his music.
Event. It's his event, bro. This is his world. We're all spectators.
Yeah, facts.
It was.
I felt like an extra. I was like, wow, I'm so blessed to be here.
This ain't your movie today.
No. He was doing push-ups in the ring, and I was like, if I was a girl right now, I'd be trying to sleep with him. 100%. I'll be by the ringside. Like, JJ, afterwards.
You don't even need to be a girl. Dog, you don't even need to be a girl. Yeah, you can still give it a shot.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
JJ, wrap up that kid and let's go.
So the other big question they asked me at the end of the night, too, was, and I'm sure they're asking you, is like, tonight, KSI and Jake Paul fight. What happens? What happens in the event that these two walked into a ring right now with their current skill levels, their current physical fitness, get in the ring and fight each other? And you were trying to push me away from answering the question. Well, you don't play in it very often
at all. I'm not participating.
But I simply said this: KSI went in the ring last night, did what he had to do. "Quote unquote," knocked the rust off. Got back into that feeling of fighting. He'll go back into camp. He'll take another fight, so on and so forth. But if you put JJ and Jake Paul in a ring today, Jake Paul wins that fight.
I don't know.
Now listen. KSI is a monster. He's an animal in that ring. He was back with those fucking overhand rights last night. He throws intense punches. He hits body shots. He's an incredible fighter, and he's going to be a great fighter. But the thing is that Jake doesn't do anything else. This is what I was talking to the interviewers about last night. There's no Arsenal Prime. There's no Reacts. Mm. There's no Sidemen.
No, he has that new show.
Stop.
BS with Jake Paul.
Fuck, you're throwing my whole shit off. You're right. That just started. BS with Jake Paul. Check it out. But for the most part, the kid is locked in.
Yeah.
But even BS with Jake Paul is a boxing related program.
And by the way, I told him, I said, this journey of podcasting in long form is a long one. And you're going to be doing this for a while. And it's going to be really hard to keep up with as you're trying to be, you know, a world champion boxer.
And I just want to caveat and say this. That doesn't mean that in a year or in 6 months or whatever, that outcome is still the same prediction for me. You know what I'm saying? I think JJ keeps fighting. I think he takes another fight. He continues to show what he's capable of, right?
Yeah, so that was the interesting thing. And I saw Jake tweet this because JJ didn't call Jake out.
Right.
He called Tate out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wasn't sure what route he was going to go, but it looks like he wants to, oil up his machine a little more, get some more experience under his belts before he fights Jake, which
makes sense.
I don't mind.
Me neither. I just wonder what everybody wants to see that.
Yeah. But we know it's inevitable, bro. Yeah, yeah. Like we have to create and craft a beautiful storyline that hooks people in from start to finish, and we can continue doing that. There's no reason to make it happen now. I'm glad him and Jake didn't fight on this card, right? Like that was a conversation for 1 second. He called out Andrew Tate at the end, which by the way, do you want to? Should we dive into the Tate stuff? I think it's a good.
I want to just chime in on the Jake KSI. Yeah, yeah. Just real quick before you get into the Andrew Tate. I think that still would be a good fight because Jake, we've seen where he goes with it, but we still haven't been able to see where KSI could take it. Regardless of what he did yesterday, bro, he was he could have gone and done 4 of those fights over again. Like he was ready and he was in shape. Yeah, and the guy wasn't able to push him to the point where he was even threatened. So there might be a chance that he's hiding in his arsenal something that we don't even know about. Do you get what I'm saying?
We know what he's hiding in his arsenal because he's showed it even earlier on with Logan. I mean, the kid can actually fight. Is a real, real, real contender. Like, I mean, if you're not putting and Jake at 1-2 in the space, I mean, is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
Yeah,
like, it's just a matter of just where you're putting 1-2. And I specifically say today I have my thoughts, but I'm interested to see where that goes in 6 months to a year.
So here's where this gets really fucking interesting. I still think, hands down, I'm the best internet-centric boxer.
Yeah, you got this, man.
Yeah, we agree.
Listen, just put a couple kids in the ring. Play your music.
No. I'm watching the landscape unfold. And I have no wins. But I'm hungry. I'm really hungry to get back in the ring, right? I'm seeing my comrades do it. And by the way, if I didn't think I was the best, I don't know if I would be anything in life. Like, that's just my mindset, right? Like,
I got me number one.
In my head, at least, right? And that's where it always starts, because if I don't believe it, how the fuck is anyone else going to believe
Absolutely,
it?
Absolutely,
right? So that's what I believe. But obviously, respect to some of the greats in this particular vertical. And so, yeah, I'm hungry, dude. And I made a call-out video calling out an opponent fully. I sent it to you guys, and I didn't release it. It was to Andrew Tate.
You're going to keep segueing into this, and I'm going to keep cutting you off, or he is. I just want to say this. I don't think your assessment of yourself is an unfair assessment. I just think the difference with you is you've shied away from fighting bums. It was never an option for you. You never wanted to. Bro, you could have walked in. You were one of the first in the space outside of Weller and JJ, right? You could have walked in and said, you know what, JJ, I'm going to take a different fight first. Or after fight one with JJ, you could have gone and fought Wasabi, right? And done what a lot of other people have done and gotten 4, 5, 6 wins under your belt. You know what I'm saying? But instead you said, I'm going to fight JJ again. I'm going to fight Floyd Mayweather. You know what I'm saying? Like it's your route, it looks very different. So when you make that statement in people's minds, it might not click perfectly, but the assessment could be true.
Perhaps this question will help the click happen. If either Jake or JJ fights Floyd, what happens? In your head, what happens? Right? I don't know the answer to that question. Yeah. Just think about the answer to that question. You probably know the answer. Probably. Regardless, I made a call-out video. I'm hungry. I'm training for the WWE again, and 99 Originals is coming to a close. Holy shit, we're like almost done with the project, right? The magnum opus NFT Polaroid photography project that I spent a year now releasing, and it's going amazing. I think we've raised over 2,000 Ethereum, and
so what's that, like $52 now?
It's not that low, but you know, the crypto's. You know, something's going on. But massive success. And I'm finding, so as people who follow my journey know, I go in waves on certain things. I chase certain pursuits for a little bit, then I switch and do this and that. And WWE now is becoming really real for me. I am doing so much research. I'm practicing, I'm training. And when you train to become a combat sports fighter, this changes your mentality, right? So now that I'm lifting weights, I'm sparring again, I'm jump roping, I'm getting physically fit. I've cut back on the smoking and the drinking. besides this trip, besides this trip.
You were insane with the last statement.
Okay, okay.
I almost fell out of my chair. You need to go to rehab, buddy. Are you fucking, I thought you were on like a real wave there.
Okay.
Okay, sorry.
Besides this trip.
Sorry.
Besides this trip.
I woke up at one point and said, who wants to meet me at the bar? And he sent me his drink request.
He was already there. Yeah. He was already there.
No. Pre-SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Oh, locked
in.
Jump off the table.
Locked in.
Yeah. And that does something to your mentality is what I'm trying to say. That energy, that combative energy, you know, it is a little bit of an ego inflator. So I start to get fired up. I see my brother kicking ass. I see KSI kicking ass. I'm like, oh, I want to kick some ass again. So I did. I made the call out video. Full on. Call out Andrew Tate. I know what a viral fucking video looks like. Shit would have gone viral. Except it wasn't quite me. It wasn't quite... Excuse me.
That happened. That was, I thought that might have been.
So that happens in my throat from time to time. Mm. It's become a huge sticking point in my relationship.
And
I'll be kissing my girlfriend and I'll pull back and I won't move my mouth and you'll hear.
Yes, because it sounds like
Kong back in the
But it happens an uncomfortable amount of times.
When you're like looking at each other romantically.
Baby, I don't know. Fuck up. And so yeah, I made a call out video, but the issue is I've just grown up.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I've changed. And the way you provoke as a 27-year-old is different than the way you provoke as a 23-year-old. In the video, I was like, yo, you're fucking poor compared to me. Yeah, what else did I say?
I got a Pokemon card worth two of your Bugattis.
Like, I went in and I sent it to the team and it was mixed, but we ended on don't release the video, right? Whatever, like life will fall into play as is. And
not too long after that,
Andrew Tate got banned from the internet.
From everything.
Andrew Tate banned from this social media platform, and then the domino effect. Now he's
completely. How do we feel about
that's where he's gonna go if you just give him, that's where he's leading. He's got he's trailing us right into
I'm getting there.
Got it.
I'm getting there, brother. I'm holding your hand through this mountain.
I appreciate it.
All right. So, you know. I guess in a way, although I was disappointed I couldn't post this video, which I, again, believe would have gotten a lot of traction, life really worked out because now you're in a situation where, and we're going to dive into Andrew Tate, I don't feel like platforming this guy. I don't feel like giving him the blessing of being my dance partner in the ring, especially after the social media platforms have made it very clear how they feel about this guy, right? And I would even put a little call out here to like fellow creators and even JJ, like, you want to re-platform this guy? Anyone? You want to have him on your shows? You want to give him another opportunity to speak and spread his agenda? Because whether you believe it or not, the shit that Andrew Tate is saying will have a ripple effect much more dangerous than you can imagine. Because his narrative is truly hateful. His rhetoric has extreme negative energy in it, and it will affect impressionable young people in a way that will not show until years from now, and it is dangerous. So now we're going to get into the conversation of censorship, right? Because people, slippery slope, freedom of speech. You want to say what you want to say. But you can't do that when your platform that you want to spread your word on is privately owned and money is a factor. Mm-hmm. The companies that Andrew Tate is spreading his speech on have a bottom line to hit. Their sole objective is to make money. Now, if you have a bad actor who's smart, who is a good orator.
Cunning.
Keen.
Yep.
Cunning. The guy knows how to speak. His takes, some of them have merit.
Yep. Absolutely.
Some of them are disgusting.
Yep. Absolutely.
Right? So like, say he has 4 good takes and you're like, oh, I see how that makes sense. One then is fucked up, right? So when Andrew Tate, to the people watching his content in a entertaining way, in a way that he can lead you from thought A to thought B in a cohesive way, when he becomes your idol, your God, the person you look up to as a creator online, because that's what kids are doing nowadays, right? You're at home. Sure, you have your parents. Sure, you have your friends. But who do you admire online? Who are you watching? Who's influencing you? Influencers. Influence. Andrew Tate had a lot of it, right? when the one take comes out that says something, women are your property.
If your friend has a heart attack, you're not going to give him CPR because that's gay. If it's a dude, like there's a million different fucking takes that are
ridiculous.
Wait,
he said that?
Yes, and you're right. They're mixed in with some takes that are motivational, that are inspirational, that do have some merit to them. We talked about this on the show with Jake. The issue becomes the sentiment and how the person is received is dependent on the audience member. And his audience is a very young, impressionable, unexperienced or inexperienced crowd of young men who, by the way, fit into a current visceral uprising that exists in this world to overthrow some longstanding movements towards the further validation and credibility of women and other protected parties. And, you know, like, I don't know that I have so much of a problem with him, you know, boosting men and making men feel like powerful in their place. But the question just becomes, at what cost? And I think we some of his takes have represented what that cost could potentially be.
And you always have to remember, at the end of the day, again, the platforms that ban him can do whatever the fuck they want. Talk about your freedom of speech all you want.
But that's what he's calling out.
Okay, calling out what though? Because freedom of speech, go for it, brother. You can say whatever you want. Go in the courtyard of the mall,
scream,
stand on a fucking table and say whatever you want. But when you are now at the mercy of, you know, an organization that has brought you the visibility that you so desperately seek, and now you want to not play by the rules, like, that's just not going to work.
Well, the question there becomes, and the question that the anti-censorship side is asking, is at what point does a legislative or government body step in to regulate what a private org that acts as the mouthpiece of the public can do in these situations? So that's where the question is starting to fall. Because right now, there is no legislative body that can say, Twitter can ban this person, Instagram can ban this person. Censorship is a slippery slope. Yes, I agree with that.
Does there need to be a governing body to decide? No, there doesn't, bro. The fucking, but otherwise, at Twitter,
but otherwise,
can decide.
And by the way, you know where I stand on this. We made a lot of jokes when this stuff was first coming up. And you guys made the jokes about me shaving my head, blah, 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 so on and so forth. And it led to, you know, him following me probably and saying this guy is going to be an ally, which he now knows that I'm not. Okay, and has called me out multiple times and called me Logan Paul's boyfriend.
Well, you are my boyfriend.
Yeah, maybe.
As I'm yours, brother.
It's a relationship.
My thoughts are this. I don't like the censorship. I said this before, but after the Dana White conversation, this is the last time we brought up censorship, I thought about it because I watched what I said back and I was like, do I agree with what I said? And I had like this learning moment. It's like, I don't agree with what I said. I'm taking back my first thing I said on the podcast. I think the platforms have every right to do what they want. It's kind of like if you're using their vehicle, you got to respect them. You know what I mean? You got to respect their rules and regulations. It's their vehicle. Mm. Like you said, it's their platform. They put you at this. But if you kind of go in a direction, they're like, hey, man, I don't want you using my platform to take it in this direction. Pin that. That's my thought for that. But my other thing is this, the Me Too movement. When it first came out, it was sick. We were taking out sons of bitches that should have been taken out years ago.
Yep, yep.
But what happened after that is they used a really, this is what they did. They go, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. And then they come around from the back and then they start attacking people that they shouldn't attack. So I don't have any problem with taking out a guy that's obviously putting out hateful messages and rising up men that are wanting to beat or mislead women. Absolutely needs to go if that's the case. I've never watched any of his shit to make an assumption like that. But my overthought is maybe we do need something with the government because these platforms are, at the end of the day, very powerful. So like if you're going to, like a gun company, right? It is America. We build guns. Or not here. Sorry, guys. But like we build guns. But there's also the government. There's rules, right? Like, hey, like for both sides of the party. Social media is getting to the point where it is people's careers. It's their livelihoods. And also they have like a community that follows them and lives by them. So I'm just talking about overall, general, there should be a good middleman that's like, hey, no, that's like not that bad. And no, it is that bad. And you should get rid of it.
Well, okay. I had this conversation with someone because where's the line for censorship? Where do you draw your line in the sand? Is it when someone's rhetoric is leading to violence?
So that's one of them.
Right? Is it when someone's rhetoric is
racism
leading to death? Yeah. Are you allowed to be sexist and racist online because you know what kind of agenda that perpetuates? or should we nip it in the butt before some bad shit happens? That's what I'm saying. Like, what?
I mean, dude,
what does it take? What does it take for one personally to go, you know what? That person probably shouldn't be given a voice on a platform, right? Because when you have, again, a smart, articulate, entertaining orator that kind of makes sense sometimes and has a shitload of visibility and now has an army of people subscribing to his agenda, that's actually a dangerous agenda. And we've seen this time and time again in history where charismatic leaders with negative, dangerous agendas and platforms and visibility get given an opportunity to spread their word and then bad shit happens. So where's your line in the sand? Do we want to let Andrew Tate keep doing this before his subscribers of little fucking TikTok schoolboys start doing negative bad shit to women and inspire?
No, they already are. It's already spawning. But listen, his rhetoric is already starting to spawn a full on next wave of little baby gimp Andrew Tate children. You can see them. They're starting to rise up. And here's the issue. They're not as well-spoken. They're not they don't have a few good takes. They're on the internet talking terrible about women, talking terrible about a lot of things that he probably understands at his 37-year-old age point that these people just don't get. And they're getting the same level of respect from the audience, and they're starting to build audiences of their own. And so you're already starting to see the ripple effect of it.
Yeah. So how bad do we want to let it get? When we know where it's going to lead, you know how this ends. We've seen it.
It's just weird too, because it fits into an ongoing wave of this type of activity. I'm telling you, I've been saying it on the show for a long time now. TikTok is vicious, is a vicious community of this type of activity. You go in the audience, you got a guy and a girl arguing, and the girl and the people in the audience, all dudes. I believe in equal rights and lefts. Equal rights for women and equal lefts too. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's the jokes about violence towards women, about, you know, that type of activity are at a height right now because of what I described in the last show, which was that massive pendulum swing to the left that started to support all of these rights and all of these new movements has to swing back. And this is that swinging back. And you're starting to see that community and that groundswell.
It's like an anti-woke.
Correct.
Which all right, yeah.
Yes.
Fine. Correct. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But let's do it. At a limit.
Because remember, that's what I'm saying. Do you have to go all the way?
Yeah, exactly, bro. Like, we see this in every single vertical that goes that way, right? I'm sorry. Did I cut you off, by the way?
No. Oh, I know you've been waiting to say something. Sorry.
Oh, no. I just want to make sure I didn't cut you off. But I just want to protect the freedom of speech part. That's it. But again,
that's protected. And by the way, that's I don't know what the rules are in the country he lives in, but in the United States, go for it. Yeah.
No, scream
at the courtyard table at the mall.
On the media, but that's the problem. That's like, it isn't America. It's their platform. It's YouTube. It's Instagram. So again, we can't, regardless of what we think, it's not our platform. We can't say what.
Here's the other thing that I want to speak on, because I have a extremely keen and unrelatable understanding of what it's like to be canceled by the entire world.
Why?
Huh?
Just kidding.
Oh, I thought he was serious.
So it is interesting for me to watch someone like Andrew Tate be where he was and then get shunned and blacklisted by the platforms that he needs most. As much as he talks about being outside of the matrix, now you're outside the club and we hear you complaining that you can't get in. He had it wasn't an apology video per se, but it was like an hour plus long video.
Not
available on any of the platforms, obviously.
It was his website. I tried to watch it, dude, but it was like, when somebody starts off with like, okay, it all started when I was three in Chicago.
That's another thing.
What the fuck?
I didn't want to.
So when I watch these apology videos or these like accountability videos, let's call them, right? I watched this guy who's actually probably fucking evil try to make an accountability video. And again, as someone who's been through it and can safely say I came out on the other side, understanding, empathetic, the man doesn't understand. He does not get it. He is also not a good person, We know the type of shit he says off camera, right? As much as he says, this is a joke, I don't treat women like this, it's a character. No, it's not.
Here's what I'll say. He has built a platform on this return to alpha masculine traditionalist beliefs where, you know, woman at center of household, cooking for the kids, cleaning, raising the kids, man at war, whatever. And he's been spewing this rhetoric now for a long time. The situation, the issue is with all of that is he is not a traditionalist in his own life. He has no family. He has no wife. He's 37 years old, 36.
With a Bugatti and a jet.
He has made the majority of his money off of cam girls, OnlyFans management,
pyramid
scheme. Casinos. Okay. The downfalls of the traditionalist male. And so my question is, and my interest and my curiosity is, how can you preach a return to traditionalism and conservatism when your entire platform and your entire net worth is based on the same things that you preach against? That's my curiosity.
Because that's
and
how it makes his money.
Andrew Tate's
number one ability is to understand the male and the impressionable male who is vulnerable and feels like they need something to fulfill them that he knows how to get when he's pretending to be a cam girl behind the scenes, scamming them out of their
money. Now, he's taking the pharmaceutical approach. Get them sick, give them the medicine.
Bingo.
Correct. And he's called me a hypocrite. Here's the thing. I've said in my book, I've said on the show a million times, I am not your role model. Take the good pieces, take the hope, take the courage, take the drive to continue going against all odds. The way he's delivered his messages have been dangerous since day one. He needs a torque and a full overhaul on the way he delivers his messages.
Do you know how that starts? He needs to change personally, which if everything he said about what he believes is true, he's not going to do. So as of now, my statement stands that I made in your vlog. By 2023, he will not have a sliver of relevancy, hopefully. And yeah, no, fuck him. Fuck him. I'm glad he's gone. I did not like what he was doing. I didn't think it was healthy. And maybe if he would have worked a little smarter, he wouldn't have to be complaining outside of the Matrix about how there is a Matrix. Because what he's describing is just a Freemason, right? You don't want to play by society's rules. You don't want to live in a country that protects you. You don't want healthcare. I mean, he has money, but the things he's describing are an unrealistic Freemason type of life where you get water from the well in your backyard and you don't pay your
almost
electricity.
Almost like an anarchist.
Cool, bro. That's fucking cool. As you sit inside your jet and trick everyone who's subscribing to your fucking shit and making money off him. Again, that's his number one ability is to trick dumb men.
Yeah.
Is to trick impressionable, dumb, vulnerable men.
Yeah.
Fuck this.
Also, like, on a bigger topic, really quick too. Besides just Tate, I don't understand. I said this to you yesterday. I don't understand this rush to get red pilled. We were talking about the red pill, you know, blue pill conversation and how it's become so prominent.
Could you elaborate on what that is for people?
So in the movie The Matrix, Neo is given the opportunity, the choice to take either the red pill and to discover the true meaning of life and what the Matrix is and how it controls his mind, or taking the blue pill and continue on living in the Matrix as people know it. And, you know, over the past like couple years, the online community or a small portion of it, by the way, the same small portion who also seems to be obsessed with a lot of the chauvinistic tendencies, a lot of the groundswell that we're seeing in that community is aligned with that red pill, blue pill community.
Mm.
My question is just like, for me personally, and the reason I say I don't care is because I'm not in a rush to red pill myself. A lot of this community right now is growing, and the streamers and Tate and all these people and Trump and all these people are growing to fight against this liberal agenda. And I'm not saying that that's a problem. I'm not saying that we need to push back on woke and that we need to get a little bit more moderate, right? But woke very much was a bunch of screaming, crying, annoying people. Whiny bitches, both men and women. And now, without even knowing it, it has spawned a conservative group of whiny fucking bitches sitting at a fucking desk complaining about, shut up.
How weird is that?
Slapped, get in the kitchen, masculine men, women have too much rights, shouldn't drive.
Wow.
Shut the fuck up.
What's the opposite of woke?
Sleeping. Put me to sleep. Give me the blue pill and the steak. I'm the guy in the Matrix eating the way, the fucking, the way the steak tastes, that juicy steak. We have one life. We come here to enjoy it, to live this life, to build a fruitful situation for ourselves, for our friends, for our family. Yes, there will be problems along the way. Yes, there will be obstacles and people that stand to try to take us down. But if you think I'm going to sit behind my fucking desk like Steven fucking Crowder for 12 hours a day and bitch endlessly about the state of things in this country, you are mistaken.
Yeah.
And make no mistake at all. All of these half-assed attempts to radicalize or redesign male thinking, has all of these young kids fooled, like you said, it's all clicks and views. There's no, Andrew Tate doesn't give a fuck about society. Tucker Carlson doesn't give a fuck about society. And on the other side, Don Lemon, all these guys on CNN, they don't give a shit. They're gonna say whatever the fuck they want to make you watch and you click.
Bingo.
That's it.
Bingo.
That's it. So that's why I want people to watch and click too.
Yeah.
But I'd rather show you cheeseburgers. I'd rather show you me having a good time. You don't like porn stars, don't watch it. You want to fucking scream radicalization and fix the crying liberals and the bleeding heart liberals.
You can do it
you
at the mall, courtyard,
no.
on a table,
or
on top
we'll
of your
jet. We'll give you a one-up. Take it to Rumble. Take it to a platform that literally allows you to do it.
So this is interesting. This is really interesting. Okay, I watched a documentary on Netflix where, I forget the name of it. I was high, I'll be honest with you. But I remember the content. I don't remember much when I'm high. It was a documentary, or it might have been a docuseries, about a girl that accidentally dated a white supremacist and sort of like by default and I guess out of love got sucked into this white supremacy world. And what she found was, and why a lot of these like extremely radical groups fall apart is, and who knows if we'll see this happen on Rumble. Is Truth Social? Is it the same thing? Are these platforms that allow you to really just say whatever you want?
Yeah, well,
and allow anyone to say whatever you want, right? So here's what happens. When you have these people now who seek this ability to say and do whatever you want, and now there's certain platforms providing it, I think it's great, right? Go on those platforms, say whatever you want. The radical folks on those platforms vary. There's a spectrum of radicalness, right? And they don't all agree with each other. But there's people that are at the very end of the spectrum, the opposite end of the spectrum, that are extremely racist, extremely dangerous, believe in really just foul shit that I don't, but I would like to believe that humanity has grown past.
Yeah, yeah.
So they don't agree with each other, even though they're on the same side and they want freedom of speech.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone's agenda may be more dangerous and too radical for the radical person.
Yeah.
So then they get in tiffs and don't represent each other, even though they think they're on the same team and they're not. Because when you are making shit up that's solely coming out of what you believe that you may have heard from somewhere else and you're just regurgitating information, it's not always going to line up with the other person who's on that platform.
You're describing the current state of politics in America.
Oh, jeez.
Literally, the left and right are at war with each other because there's radical rights, moderate rights, you know, people on the middle, conservative, like all over the place. And same thing on the left. You've got fucking wild liberals.
Yep.
You've got AOCs. Yep. You've got all these people. And everybody's disagreeing and the parties are starting to fall apart. So even the radicals don't agree with each other. The moderates don't agree with each other. It's a messy situation. And it's a test and a learning lesson for how we behave as humans. We had to go through this same activity prior to social media. How do we talk to people we don't agree with? Now the question has become scaled and become a massive situation. How do 3 billion people on social media who all have intensely differing viewpoints coexist?
What a nightmare.
Well run by organizations who have their own viewpoints with a legislative body on the side who has its own viewpoints.
Yeah.
And by the way, not just viewpoints, intentions, desires, greed, all of these things thrown into a bubble. And we're just sitting here as the guinea pigs of it, trying to see where it all fucking goes.
Well said. That was beautiful. I mean, you're right. It's a nightmare. It's a fucking insane nightmare. And it's really interesting that we are alive in a time period where our generation is going to have to do the figuring. We're going to have to figure some shit out.
Figure it out.
You have an answer to your question is because at the end of the day, I can sit here on this podcast and say whatever the fuck I want. And some people are going to agree and some people are going to disagree. And I believe that's supernatural. Like, don't think that because we disagree on George and I disagree on shit all the time. And we're best fucking friends. Yeah. Don't think because we disagree, there's not some sort of common ground we can reach, even if it's just agree to disagree. So do you have anything, because I'm planning on being the president of the United States, brother. My goal is to fully unite these states. So what is the answer to the question of how can we get to a place where we can have meaningful conversation that ends with some sort of positive, net positive outcome?
Two answers. One is just empathy and how we speak to each other. If you have a belief set that you know is very core to you and that you want to express, but also can anger or divide an opposing viewpoint, you need to learn how to express those views in a fucking healthy manner, okay? Unless you are doing it for views and clicks. And if you're doing it for views and clicks, like everyone we see, all the pundits, Shapiro, Crowder, AOC, fuck one side or the other. Just to be clear, no one on the show is a woke liberal. No one on the show is even a liberal. We are moderate to conservative. We're not fighting for people to be fucking, everybody to be censored. That's not what we're doing here. People need to learn how to talk to each other in a healthy manner. I learned that in the corporate world. I used to sell crack. I was a piece of
shit.
Was
that the corporate world?
No. And I didn't know how to talk to people.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know where it got me? Felony charges. My ass beaten. Then I went into a real world environment and learned about chain of command and learned about how to speak to people in a positive manner while also expressing your concerns. The problem is not everyone has that classical training. So you've got a bunch of fucking animals spewing, you fat, ugly, and while Tate may have had great takes, unfortunately, they were said in a way that drove views and clicks and not in a way that was positive for conversation. End of story. And that's why the almighty algorithm giveth, the almighty algorithm taketh away, and occasionally the almighty algorithm drops its mighty sword and severs the head of someone it doesn't like. And, you know,
that's biblical, Mike.
Jack, Susan, and Mark Zuck are making those rules. I'm not. I don't know if it's right or wrong, but listen, I came up in the underworld. I know that there's people you can rough up, there's people you can buy, and there's people who call the shots.
Yeah,
and I ain't fucking with any. I like the platform,
right? And the steak.
I'm not saying that's okay, but. Hey man, YouTube, you got rules and I'm here to follow them.
Yo, we need the platform. In that way, yeah, we're caught in the matrix. I don't give a fuck. It's great here.
The steak is delicious.
We talk about, I don't want to fucking pump water from the well in my backyard. I don't want to go scream on the table in the courtyard. I want to fucking vibe out with cool people on social media and expand my horizons with things that never could happen 20 years ago because I have an Android device in my hand.
I
use Apple, by the way. It was more of like a robotic AI tech kind of thing.
You have to go, but I want to ask both of you this.
Yeah.
Is there a potential redemption arc for Andrew Tate?
I've been asking myself this.
Absolutely. Everybody has one.
Yeah, I agree.
Everybody has
one. I could never for a second say otherwise. And I asked you guys the question, but you go first. Go. Because I changed. My life changed. I was in a terrible place and look at me now. So I think everyone deserves a fucking...
You guys have been my close friends for a very long time. Especially you. You've been almost a decade now. How I react to enemies, each one, and I had one recently that we just talked about. Every single enemy that I look in the eyes, my goal is... They don't even know this. It's spiritual warfare. When they leave my room or leave my presence, constantly I'm praying for them. No bullshit. And I'm not on some like, oh, here we go. This Christian guy just spewing again. It's warfare. I'm trying to get as many people, not fakely, but in real life, to be my friend. I know if you have an issue with me, I know at the end of the day, Andrew Tate had to go through something to become Andrew Tate. So take his philosophy, put it here. If I disagree with it, I'm going to slide it right here, and I'm going to try to diagnose the problem. If he's sick, where is the medicine? And the medicine is speaking of what I feel like. Now, he could take it or he can't take it. Now, I'm not saying I have the medicine. Everybody come follow me. This is what I'm doing. But I'm saying if you have an enemy, the best thing you could do for warfare in your life is get them to be a friend. All of them. Every single one of them. Even if he's like, you look at him, you're like, yo, there's no hope for this guy. There's zero hope for this guy. That's not the case. Every single, this is what I, in movies, when you see a bad villain, this is him. I'm going to take over the world. I'm going to use this and destroy. But in real life, a bad person's usually put in a position they don't want to be a part of, or they're uncomfortable, or they make an accidental mistake that leads to a life. Bro, you didn't wake up one day and been like, I'm going to be a drug addict and ruin my whole family's life. Yeah. You woke up one day and you were like, I'm going to dabble in this. And what I'm saying is at the end, it always starts with a tiny bit of a dabble. Like that girl that fell in love with a guy that is racist. Bro, she didn't look at this guy like, God bless. He's tall, rich, and he hates black people. This is great. She didn't start this way. And maybe in racism, I know this, I'll bring up racism in the way that I see it. When 9/11 happened and I was in the third grade, a part of me understood why that white kid in class was mad at me. I got it. A little part of me was like, dude, somebody that looked like me just caused a lot of pain to 2,000 people. I have to have some type of empathy to be like, yo, bro, I get it. I understand why you're talking like this, but it ain't me. I'm this, and that. And if you could come at a level of like understanding, yo, this guy hates me because of this reason, there has to be a reason.
Empathy. I mean, what he's describing right now is specifically and perfectly defined empathy. Having understanding for and a feeling, a potential feeling for what your opposing viewer is feeling is the only way to relate and connect and drive through that division. That is, we say this all the time. And the unfortunate part of it is empathy is not something you can go buy at the store. It's not something that someone can teach you. It's not a lesson you can be.
That's the hard part about it, though. And you mentioned this, I think, in one of the last
Charlemagne.
Episodes. Charlemagne is a lot of empathy, especially if you have trouble understanding and getting there in your head like I did, comes from trauma.
Yeah.
Right? Some people just haven't been through shit to make them
feel. It's wisdom.
To make them
it's definitely feel. Wisdom.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
But wisdom could come in many ways, bro. You don't have to go through it. You could watch it and be like,
I agree, but every person's different. And there's a quote that Max said. I think I've mentioned this before, and I like it. It's experience is the secret ingredient between knowledge and wisdom.
True.
So for me, it is that experience.
I
don't mean to interrupt you, but how do you take in the experience? You watch a movie, that's an experience. You watch a play.
It's not the same. As Charlemagne said, it's just not the same. When you go through an event in your life,
it's that not the puts same, you into. That doesn't mean you don't have.
No, you can glean and you can take learnings from it for sure. But when 100%. You go through, and here's the other thing with it too, that trauma can also push you in one of two ways. So you can either take your trauma, learn from your trauma, become empathetic, become a better person, or you have a villain origin story. His mom and dad were killed at the grocery store in front of him. And now what is he? He's a murderer. Mm. He's a serial killer. Mm. So it's tricky, bro. This is not simple stuff. I think because the main audience and the main people that are talking about this specific situation are such a young group, they like to use absolute and specific statements. Andrew Tate was deplatformed by the man. That's it. This conversation is so deep.
Well, they probably thought it was a woman.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, Susan.
I guess
Susan kicked off.
I don't know. I guess my
I think we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
But also just to circle back to the guy that I did forgive, I saw him and I was like, hey, bro, blah, blah, blah. And I remember looking in his eyes.
The guy who called you a terrorist in the third grade?
No, I'm sorry. I had a recent issue with somebody.
Okay.
And so in real life, I went up to him. We were at the beach and I was like, hey, blah, blah, blah. I could see in his eyes, he was kind of like, what the fuck? Like, why are we good like this, you know? Because I was really good about it. Short story, a few months later, and mind you, I didn't do this for this reason. I'm just giving an example.
Yeah.
I was stuck in a position where the door was closed on me and there was only one fucking guy that I knew that could open up the door for my problem. And I was like, oh, we're good now. So I texted him and I was like, hey, man, do you think you can help me with it? 10 minutes later, it was all gone. And it was just a really big learning lesson to me.
Yeah,
I'm not going to take somebody's bad experience that turned him into an asshole in my point of view, say, fuck this guy. If I forgave him, for me, in the end, you don't know how that could benefit you. So really forgiving somebody and moving on could help you more than it could even help them.
For
it's
sure,
really for you.
For sure. I forgave KSI for beating me and then we started Prime. So I see what you're saying.
Yeah, dude. If you want to be rich and successful.
Forgive and forget.
Love.
And just on like a final cap on it too. Like I don't hate that guy at all. You've I don't hate. I don't, even him. No, even slightly. I don't have any bad feelings towards him whatsoever. I hope that you can, even in that video he posted, you could already see him starting to kind of feel like he was okay. Like, yo, I've pushed a little bit too far. Yep. And by the way, I don't even know that he hadn't already started to implement that. I think
as alpha as you can be, dog, I'm telling you, there's a toll it takes on your mental health
to be at
that,
war.
That he thinks he's just a stoic warrior at all times.
Yeah.
When the whole world's coming down on you, that's not easy, man.
Yeah, it's not. It sucks. And
for that reason, I have empathy for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
But Gary Vee once told me this, bro. You sleep in the fucking bed you make, and you have to take full accountability for the shit that you do in your life. And he's got to do that. And if he can do that and find himself using his gift.
Gift.
By the way.
Gift, bro.
Gift.
I mean,
he can do great shit. It's going to take some time.
Yeah.
We need some time to unwire and correct this weird toxic masculine imbalance that may have made a little comeback. By the way, dog, you all know me. I'm down to be a fucking alpha male. Yo, protect, provide 100% through and through, no matter what. But there's a limit to, like, what does a true alpha look like, right? Do you need to talk about it? You got to talk about
you don't talk.
Or you just be a fucking man.
Yeah.
You be an actual man, protect the people you love, provide for the people you love, and have that in your back pocket, knowing that you are it already.
And I don't need shit
to validate what you think you have.
We fight over labels. In every vertical, that it's always a label.
That was your alpha male. You call me this, or it's you're fighting for that.
And it's just like, it really doesn't matter. Words became so much more powerful than it should. Like,
I think words are powerful. Words are powerful.
I didn't know that until like my late 20s. I was like, fuck.
Words are powerful.
Very powerful.
You use certain words that have feeling attached to it or that are charged and you can rattleize, you can convince, you can make impressions on people just because of language. Language is what made our species, the Homo sapiens sapien, start to develop organizational infrastructure, tools, groups, planning.
But
right?
Also like, war.
War, and, everything, you know everything. Yeah. It comes with both. But language, words, the way we communicate is like one of the sole reasons that we are the way we are now in 2022.
And you're seeing this wave that I keep talking about on social media, which also includes a subcomponent of it, which is, why are you guys getting so mad? Like, they're just dude, words hurt people, bro. As you just said, words are very powerful, extremely powerful, and very hard to take back once you say them.
You can weaponize language like you would never fucking understand. It's been done before in war and propaganda. That's all it is. Like, you're rallying a country or a subset of people to believe a certain thing just because of how you speak. It's everything, bro. The what you speak and what you say matters. And you can't just go saying random fucking shit that has a dangerous effect to it. Like that.
Hey, side note, these kids are all so young and even like I had a guy come up to me last night at the club that was like 23 and he asked me, he's like, you know, out of nowhere, he's just standing next to me. It's like 2 a.m. He's like, yo, I'm 23 years old and I've never hooked up with a girl before.
Whoa.
And I looked over and my first thought is, I've never met you before. You didn't even tell me your name. Like, he was just in my ear.
Yeah.
And I think we like over at like,
you,
or
that's hilarious. You call him a pussy?
No, 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 no. I said, you know what I said to him?
Get some tail, brother.
No. In my mind, maybe I was thinking that, but in all reality, I said to him, yo, bro, that's completely okay. Like that, that's how I am.
Of course it's okay, but let's dog on him a little bit.
Yes, hold on.
I'm lying to him. No, it's not.
Okay.
You should have smacked him in the ring and whispered in the ear. It should have been you in the KSI ring.
No, but I think that what a lot of these younger guys are looking for is a role model that will instruct them the ways to have girls or to get girls, right? And I think that was part of Tate's, you know, aura, was that he was top G. He was the guy that could show you how to do it. But he just created this really unrealistic approach.
Bro,
none of your audience has Bugattis.
No, they don't talk like him. They don't speak like him. They don't have his confidence.
But thank God, bro. But not the confidence. But dude, you're not looking for someone who could throw on a Richard Mille or pull up to the club in a Bugatti or fly in a G5 or that chartered jet where he was calling me your boyfriend. Like
he got a chartered jet
and get girls. I promise you, I know so many fucking internet gurus. Logan, you can attest to this. We know so many internet gurus who have made millions of dollars and they wear the Richard Mille and they show up on the G5 to Basel, to Art Basel, and they want to come to our table at the club. Because there's a difference between oozing fucking confidence and being just a cool, nice person and having to create some fake aura for yourself to get women. It's just, I
get what you're saying. Why be Andrew Tate when you could be us? We're way cooler.
Come to our, not only I know that, that I'm, not only I, that, that is kind of what we I can post on Instagram.
Low blow, man. Low blow.
Speaking of low blows. By the way, how could like? Oh, yeah, he can't make a comeback. I was just thinking about it. Like,
No, he can't come back.
Yeah.
He's gonna. What he'll need to do, truthfully, is A, set his beliefs right. He needs to go through a little bit of a personal reform, I think. It's 2022. We're not fucking cavemen anymore. Women are our equals and partners if you're in a healthy, loving, stable relationship or whatever your relationship is with women. And then I think he'll have to like lobby, honestly, or like go around and like almost pitch himself.
Yeah.
Does the donation help?
So this is what I watched in his video. So he made a donation to, I think it was like a woman's foundation or something, of a significant amount of money.
Healthy,
like,
yeah.
Like a million, 1.2 million, yeah. I think. And in his video, he was complaining about how it didn't get any headlines, right? Like his problem with it was that they make headlines on all his negative stuff, but when he does something positive, where's the headline on that, right? And the issue is you only did something positive because people are coming after you. You can't just throw money at a problem and expect it to go away, which is another, it's a tell that you don't quite understand what's happening here.
Oh, he did right? it after he got.
After, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's, yeah, that's not going to work, Buckle. And he's like as smart as he is, he really thinks that he just throw $1 million.
Well, hold on. Let's slow down for a second. In the very quick interim post-Tokyo.
Wait, I did it. I did it.
Correct.
I didn't complain about not getting a headline. I did it to do
correct.
It. I did it because it was the right thing to
correct.
Do. And I would never have gone, where's my fucking headline correct. About the good thing I did, even though I did this cascade of negative shit. You can't do it. You don't understand.
And you knew, maybe not at the time, but you definitely know now, that no matter how big that donation was, that was a quarter of a percentage of what you needed to do to grow out of that issue and to reform your
quarter of a percentage.
Yeah,
not it's like
nothing, and to create a new reformed image of yourself. Listen, man, I hope he becomes a better person. I have no bad feelings towards him or his brother or anyone, and even they want to talk a little shit, poke a little fun, I'm fine with that. But like, I hope he pulls his shit together, learns what he has to do to continue on and make the world a better place.
Yo, how crazy would this be? Oh my god.
Whoa!
Japan happened. KSI that called me out for a fight. I said yes. I fought him. Tate happened. Got removed from the internet. KSI calls him out for a fight. Is this the beginning of Tate's redemption arc? Fight through KSI and is KSI's entire existence beyond all the things he does?
A saved
careers. Holy
he
shit.
He just brings people back from the grave.
Save careers.
Maybe this is, but that's my question to JJ. He's like, do you want to fucking platform this guy?
See, here's the
maybe.
We were talking.
I don't know.
They were probably talking. Said the same shit about you too. I bet the sidemen were like, do you want to?
Oh yeah, maybe. Yeah, you know, 100%. The issue with the platforming was, this platforming is a new discussion just as of a week ago. Because a week ago, he had the greatest platform on earth. He was the biggest thing on earth up until his deplatforming, right? But now that question has merit. Listen, like all those get Tate on messages that we all got for months, it wasn't like we were hitting him up saying, come on the show. We could have been the first ever.
Oh, I forgot to say that.
We can have any fucking guest we want. We have one of the largest platforms on the planet. If you combine YouTube views and Spotify listens, we are probably in the top three of the largest programs on the planet. If we want to have a guest on the show, we'll have a guest on the fucking show. The conversation was there. it actually was you because I said, are we going to do this? Are we going to debate them?
Look, look, look. That episode would have gotten an amazing amount of views. I took one quick look at this guy and said, this is not my steez. I do not feel like putting this guy on my platform to talk about his fucking bullshit because it is bullshit. And when you poke through it, you realize it's bullshit because not even he can make sense of the bullshit he's saying, right? He just says shit to say shit. It got him in trouble. He got bit in the ass and now he's whining on his fucking couch in a room.
Why you would want to do that. Like, I almost want to see him do, like, find a new craft now. Like, maybe boxing.
Woodworking.
Or going back into fighting.
Go be a kickboxer. I mean, that'd be...
Bro, because, dude, why do you want to do that? Why do you want to...
He's getting older. He's out of the game. He's smoking cigars. We'll see what happens. I don't give a fuck. It's good. It will be entertaining, though. And by the way, that's why I live my life, to be entertained. Is there anything else? Anything else, Georgie? Do you have to go?
I think he does.
Oh, I'm 30 minutes late.
Why don't you get the hell out of here?
21. Huh? You'll be okay.
Why don't you go back to the States? We miss you. We love you.
All right. Well, thanks for having me, guys. London's been fun.
You're not the guest, man. Thanks so much for having
us. What's
your
problem, man? Why are you always coming at me, sorry, dude? Comment down below how Mike always bullies me, bro. Every time. He writes a book to help people, but then he doesn't even help his own best friend. That's kind of fucked up.
A little bit of a serious show today. But there was some stuff in there that I felt was important.
And I like boys only way better than guests.
Yeah, they're fun. Tell the guests that the next time they come on.
Yeah, but they just never look at me because they're just facing this way.
So you're really tell the guests they're really cramping our style.
Dude, by the way.
As a unit.
Our last guest. Wait, did we put it out yet? Sorry.
You can say whoever you want. Charlamagne?
Whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Michael Blackson?
Charlamagne. Did we put that out?
That
yeah,
out.
My brain. Sorry. I didn't know how many times hey, hi.
All right, yep, I gotta go. For sure.
All right, guys, thanks for listening to this episode of Impulsive. We do love you. If you're not subscribed, hit that subscribe button, and we will see you next time. Take it easy, fam. Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.